God, we thank you this morning. You are incredible. You are amazing. You are so great. You are so powerful, and yet you are here with us right now. That in your greatness, in your strength, in your power, you come to us and embrace us with your love, with your mercy, with your forgiveness. God, may we encounter your presence this morning. May we recognize that all of this isn't just for show, but this is for relationship. That you long to be in relationship with us, that you long to continue a relationship with us. May we recognize that you are, in fact, with us right now in this very moment. So whatever we got going on in our heads, whatever this past week looked like, whatever this future week looks like, that we would be able to put that aside and be present with you this morning. We love you, Jesus, so much. In your name, we all said. Amen. Before you take a seat, why don't you say hi to someone and then take a seat. In unrelated news, the Dodgers are going to the World Series. That's right. Okay, only a couple of you. Cool. Whatever. No, I'm so stoked about that. But this is not about baseball today, obviously. But a little bit. Anyways, this next week is going to be pretty cool. So I have a bunch of friends now in Houston because we've been doing some relief work out there. And so I texted them late last night some awesome, great, like, words of encouragement. Like, you're going to lose and things like that. Oh, man. The other day, I was in my daughter's bedroom, and we have this mirror that's about, you know, this tall so she can see herself. And she kept, like, doing this. Stand like this. I'm like, what are you doing? And it was so cute. And I said, Sawyer, look at yourself in the mirror. What do you see? And over the past year, I've been telling her, saying things like, say I'm beautiful, say I'm strong, say I'm smart. And so she looks at me and says, I'm beautiful. And I'm like, that's right, that's what you are. She says, I'm smart. Says, I'm strong. And then she gets out her arms and like shakes them. That's so cute. But I love it because already at a young age, she has this awareness of a sense of identity that I am blank, I am something. And we all have it when we stare at ourselves in the mirror, don't we? Whether we're aware of it or not, we're saying something about ourselves, how we view ourselves, how we see ourselves. Not just alone, but we also do it with relationships that we have with one another, with our spouses or with people that we're dating, with our close friends, with people at work. We have an I am blank, and we fill in that blank, whatever that may be, positive or negative. That when it comes to our identity and how we view ourselves, it's constant, right? Now when it comes to Jesus, people have different views about who Jesus is, right? We fill in the blank of who we think Jesus is. In fact, Google fills in the blank too with suggested options of who Jesus is. That if you were to type in Jesus is and then leave it blank, it gives you suggestions. I just did it the other day and it says this, which were mostly pretty good. It says that Jesus is Lord. Okay, Google, nice. Jesus is my friend. Jesus is God. Jesus is just all right. I was waiting to see Jesus just all right with me, but it just said just all right. Okay. Jesus is the answer, and then Jesus is my homeboy. Nice. It's fantastic. I'm like, all right, cool. But we all have every single person, not every single, but the majority of people in the world know about this guy, Jesus. And we have an opinion about who he is. Now, thankfully, Jesus didn't have an identity crisis. Jesus also knew who he was, and he mentions it and talks about it, that he has I am statements as well. In the next few weeks, what I want to do is I want to look at who Jesus says that he is. Not who we think he is, not who other people think he is. What does he say about himself? So the first one that we're going to look at is a popular one that many people know about, but it kind of gets misguided because we present it in a way that's not in the right context. And that is that Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to the Father except through me. Many of us know that. It's in John chapter 14. So what I want to do, in order to understand the context of what Jesus is saying about himself, it's important to recognize that with the context, you need to have the right pretext. By pretext, meaning you have to go see the whole story, that you got to take a step back and look at, okay, what's this whole narrative here? Why is he saying that? And where is that going? Because we can easily just take a verse and then think that that's what it means to ourselves when we're creating our own context for the verse, right? That's taking something out of context. In order to understand the context, you need to understand the pretext or the story behind that. So John chapter 13 is where we're going to start. If you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 13. That is where we're going to hang out. And we're going to go through John 13, the middle of John 13. We're going to go all the way through John 14 today. It's going to be a lot of verses. Fantastic. You're so excited. I know. It's so good. But just before this situation in John 13, 31, Jesus has just washed his disciples' feet. Jesus has just shown his disciples that in his kingdom, the way he rolls, how he leads, is not by who's in charge. It's not by a dictatorship, so to speak. It's not by this guy, I'm going to overpower you. Rather, I'm going to come down and I'm going to serve you by washing your feet. That leadership is not about who's in charge or who calls the shots. Leadership is about who gets to serve, who gets to give up the rights of themselves for the sake of another person. Who gets to serve in that way. That's what true leadership looks like. And so Jesus models that for his disciples by washing their feet. So if you can just imagine for a second, all the disciples now have clean feet. Once sandy, dirty feet, right? You go to the beach and you wash your feet and it's like, it's nice and clean. When you're refreshed a little bit, they are refreshed. They've got clean feet. Jesus has just done that. That is unbelievable. That's paradoxical. That's just something you would never do. You'd never see that happen, but he did it to model to them of what it looks like to be in his part of his kingdom. And then something happens. Then Jesus says that someone here is going to betray me. And that's Judas. And so Judas gets up and leaves the room to betray Jesus. Verse 31 says this, as soon as Judas left the room, Jesus said, the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory, and God will be glorified because of him. And since God receives glory because of the Son, he will give his own glory to the Son, and he will do so at once. Dear children, I will be with you only a little longer. He's looking at his disciples. And as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you cannot come where I am going. This is important. That last part of that sentence is really important because this is the overarching idea. This is the existential thought. This is the thing that is driving what the disciples are worried about, that Jesus is going somewhere that they cannot go. Well, that's a problem. That's a problem for the disciples. Why? Because the disciples are what? They are followers of Jesus. When they look at themselves in the mirror, they see, I am a follower of Jesus. And Jesus is now saying, you can't follow me. You can't go there. You cannot go where I am about to go. Now, where is Jesus going that they cannot go? Often we think heaven. It's not heaven here. What we'll see here is where Jesus is going is he is going to die for the sins of humanity. Jesus is going to die for the world, and they cannot go. He must go at this alone, that he is going to die, he is going to suffer on the cross. Now, granted, this is just a prelude to what Jesus is building up to for another point. So he moves from what they cannot do and tells them what they must do. He says this in verse 34. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. You see that last part? Your love for one another will prove that you are my disciples. Not your intellectual capability of winning arguments will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Not your ability to stand on what you think is right and high and mighty and wave the flag that you will be considered my disciples. No, what is it? Your what? Love. This is a new commandment. That Jesus, as the lawgiver, is saying that above the Ten Commandments, above the 633 that are in the Old Testament, above all of that, there is one new commandment. There is a new chapter now with my kingdom, and that is that you are called to love each other as I have loved you. That's it. That's what I want you to do. That's what I want you to focus on. I'm going to a place that you cannot go. I'm going to a place that you cannot follow me in. But what I want you to do right now in the midst of it is I want you to love each other. This is a new commandment, a new thing, to love one another. But Peter treats this as a distraction. As Jesus' previous words about going somewhere they can't go, he's like still focused on that. And he says, Simon Peter asks the Lord, he says, Lord, okay, great, but where are you going again? What? That's like a boyfriend asking his girlfriend. He's gonna propose to her, right? So he's like all nervous. He walks up to his girlfriend. He's like, hey, I went to this place the other day and I caught something for you, and it's really special. And I don't know if you've done this before. When I did it, it was like blah 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 blah. It was the worst thing ever. I'm like, had all these ideas and it just didn't come out right. It's like, this, if you'd say your response to this could change everything, it could change the entire thing. And I just want to ask you if you would marry. And she says, stop, wait. You went where? You went to a store? How did you get there? Did you take a car? What route did you take? She completely misses the whole thing that's going on, right? And so does Peter. As Peter's like, Lord, wait, where are you going? And Jesus is probably just like, oh my goodness, who are these guys? What in the world is happening, right? He replies, you can't go with me now, but you'll follow me later. But why can't I come now, Lord? He asked. I'm ready to die for you. So now we know that the place at which Jesus is going is that he's going to die. Even Peter recognizes that. But he's saying, I'm ready to die for you. Why can't I follow you? I want to die too. Jesus answered, die for me? I tell you the truth, Peter. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. Peter has a little bit of a high estimation of himself as Jesus brings him to reality to recognize that, Peter, you're not even able to die for me. You're going to deny me. This is troublesome. It's bad enough that one of the disciples just left to betray him. And now one of the more outspoken disciples, one of the ones that was really close to Jesus, is going to deny him. Is going to become unfaithful. Even worse, Jesus is going to the strange glorification of suffering and death, and he's going to go alone, and his followers will be temporarily without someone to follow. It seems as everything is falling apart. The disciples must be sitting there going like, what in the entire world of all things is happening here? This is insane. You were supposed to like, I don't understand what's going on. I don't get it. They must be freaking out. Everything within them is shifting. Everything that Jesus is talking about is changing everything. And it's no wonder that Jesus uses these words next. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I am going. Again, the conversation is this. It's as if Jesus is saying, listen, you can't be with me. You can't go down this bitter path of suffering and death. I must take that alone. One of you is going to betray me. One of you is going to deny me, but it's okay. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't be discouraged. Love each other. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I'm going to go alone in the suffering and death, but beyond the suffering and death, I'm going to come home to my Father's home. That I am going to usher in the kingdom of God here and now and soon to come. And you will encounter it here and now and soon to come. Just be patient and wait and trust. And you know where I am going. And you know the way to get there. That's troublesome for Thomas. Jesus says, again, you know the way to where I am going. And Thomas is like on the edge of his seat, if he's in a seat, but just imagine on the edge of his seat going like, no, we don't. We have no idea what you're talking about. We have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? Again, that overarching idea that Jesus is going to a place that they cannot go, that they cannot follow, and they're freaking out. And Thomas is going, all I need is a guide. And this is where the Thomas guide was invented. All I need is a guide. I just need something to have. Give me some clarity. Give me some direction. Give me something. I just need a thing. Where are you going? Do you feel that way when it comes to the future at times? I would just like a blueprint so that I can kind of know what is going to happen. Like tomorrow with my health, or tomorrow with my job, or tomorrow with my future, with my kids, or tomorrow. Can you just give me something to hold on to, because I am a bit freaking out. I'm kind of scared right now. Kind of uncertain. I don't know what I'm following. I don't know what I'm getting into. We don't know what we're getting into. And that's what the disciples are feeling. That's what Thomas is feeling. He's like, what is going on? And here, in this moment, is where Jesus begins to speak about who he is to his disciples. This is where he says to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father. No one can enter this place except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. You know the way to where I am going because you know me. It's another way of Jesus saying, trust me. Trust me. Because what are the disciples trying to do? The disciples, they're trying to figure out how to get to wherever Jesus is going without him. Just tell me how to get there. And Jesus is saying, I'm right here. Trust me. I am the way. Just trust me. Don't look for another way apart from me. Don't look for another route or destination. Don't look for some concept or technique or system of thought that is separate from me. I'm not trying to give you information or instruction so you no longer need me and instead can depend on some kind of other thing. No, I am calling you to trust me. Everything you need is in me. I will bring you to the Father's house. I will lead you to the place where you need to be. Can you trust me in it? You know where to go because you know me. For your future, you know where to go because you know him. And he is calling you to rest in him. Why? Because he's the way, the truth, and the life. He leads us to where we belong. And that is in his presence, right? That is in his kingdom, in his house, in his presence. So we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be discouraged. We don't need to be dismayed. No, we need to simply trust in him. When Jesus says that no one can come to the Father except through me, it was Jesus explicitly telling his disciples, who seem to want to trust other information, a plan, a diagram, a map, a technique, or whatever it may be, so they can get to the kingdom apart from him. He's saying, you cannot do that. It must be with me because I'm leading you there. Just think about it for a second. Just imagine yourself in the disciples' shoes or sandals. Sandals? Sandals, probably. Jesus has just told you that he's going to a place that you cannot go. And you, for the past 3 years, have been following him. And then he says, but don't worry. Don't be discouraged. Love each other. And know that you know where to go. And you're like, huh, what? What are you talking about? And so in your own heart, you're like, give me some instructions. Give me some specifics. Tell me where to go. Tell me what to do. Show me. I need to know. And he simply says, I want you to trust in God and trust also in me. That he's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Trust in him. Which has to do with what? This doesn't have to do with information. This has to do with knowing about where to go. This has to do with knowing. This has to do with being in relationship with him. This has to do with abiding in him, as he will say in John 17. This has to do with being with him. And yet for so much in our lives, what we try to do as we try to tag Jesus along with us, and we still try to cling on to other things because we want to control what we cannot control. And Jesus is saying, let go and trust me. Trust me in it. He's the way, he's the truth, and the life. Someone once said to Mother Teresa, Mother Teresa was, you know, an amazing woman, and she was with a bunch of people, and she was doing some incredible things, and this guy says to her, he says, hey, it seems like you have God's, you're part of God's will, and you know what's going on in your life, and I'm a bit lost, and I don't know what to do, and I don't have all this stuff, and I really just need some clarity about what God wants me to do for the future, because I don't know, but it seems like you know what God wants you to do for the future. So can you just like pray for me that God would give me clarity for the future and what you want me and what he wants me to do? And she says, no. He's like, what? No. I never pray for clarity. I pray for trust. And that's the reality. And so here's what the disciples are doing. They want clarity. They want some kind of intellectual knowledge, some kind of thing. And Jesus is saying, no. I'm not going to give you a plan and roll it out for you. I'm going to give you a promise, and that promise is my presence always with you. Trust me. I will lead you to the place where you need to be. It's okay. Relax. Breathe. And embrace his leadership. Unfortunately, Philip decides to speak up. And the disciples, literally, like, duh, what are you doing? He speaks up and says this, after this beautiful thing, what Jesus is talking about, he goes, okay, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. It's like, Jesus is like, I'm about to die for you. And what in the world is going on? Are you serious, Philip? What? Jesus replied, have you been with me all this time, Philip? And yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. Just trust that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Just at least trust because you've seen me do these works of miracles and healings, of expressing love to the unlovable, right? And Philip is just saying, just give us a sign. It's like when we pray, show me a shooting star. If you're real, show me a shooting star, and then I will, you know, blank. He's saying, okay, maybe, but I want you to trust me, not in the sign, not in the intellectual clarity that you could have. I want you to trust in me. Jesus keeps turning them forward towards trust as they keep turning backwards towards like stuff. Just show me the Father. Just tell me where we're going. Why can't I go with you? What's happening here? Give me clarity. Give me clarity. Give me clarity. Jesus goes on and says this. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me, here we go again with personal, anyone who trusts in me is another way of saying that, will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with them, with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. And then Jesus goes and reinitiates his commandment and says this in verse 15. If you love me, obey my commandments and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him, but isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him, because he lives with you now and later will be in you. And so what the disciples don't realize is that Jesus has to go. And where he is going is not the end. It is only the beginning of another new adventure where the Spirit of God is now within them, that his presence now never leaves them, that when they see the reality of who Jesus is, in that moment, the kingdom of God now takes residence within their life, starting then. Whereas before it was this future thing, now it is coming in. And now the Spirit of God is empowering them to do greater things than Jesus has ever done. And they will do greater things than Jesus has ever done. And there will be more, and it continues to do more as the kingdom of God comes down from the heavens down to earth and moves through his people. They don't realize this. They don't recognize this. But what they have to understand is to trust him, because he is already leading them to this place. And the same goes for us. When you look at technology today, technology is crazy. There's so many things going on especially with smartphones and with text messaging. There's all kinds of stuff you can do with it now. It's just with tablets, with pagers. It's crazy. No, I'm catching you guys. Pagers, are you serious? Come on now, you remember those things? It's like beep, beep, beep. Oh, God, I gotta go to a payphone. It's emergency. So crazy. It wasn't that long ago. We had pagers. It was crazy. There's one piece of technology that still baffles my mind, and that's the fax machine. That's unbelievable. I'm still like, how is that possible? Take a piece of paper, you dial a phone number, scan it, and it shows up in another fax machine, who knows where. It could be in Dubai. And it comes out immediately at the same piece of paper. Not the same, but, a copy of it's like, that's unbelievable. I tried to research it, figure it out. I'm just not that smart. And I'm looking at it going, what in the world? How is that possible? There are just some things in life that don't make sense. Now, granted, for some people that does make sense, but there are some things in life in general that just don't make sense, like our future. We try so hard to figure it out. We even trick ourselves by planning our schedules. And depending on how strategic you are, depending on how real, like, yep, this is what my schedules look like, we trick ourselves. And for the most part, it kind of does pan out that way, doesn't it? Yeah, it kind of does, kind of, sort of. But then there's accidents that happens, there's things, there's hiccups, there's stuff, right? We try so hard with the future, even with our relationship with God. And what we do is we go, God, I just tell me where I need to go. Tell me what I need to do next. Tell me who to marry. Tell me if that should be the right business decision. Tell me if I should do this. Tell me if I should go there. Tell me. I need some clarity. And you want to know what he's going to say? Trust me. Sit and trust him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And know this, that in that trusting, in that letting go, we often have this fear of, what if I get left alone? What if I'm abandoned? And Jesus reassures that fear as he says this to the disciples and to us this morning. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you will also live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. Trust in God. Trust also in Jesus, right? He is not going to abandon you. He is not going to leave you. No, he is Emmanuel. He is with you. He is in you. So who is Jesus? He is the one that we trust to lead us to where we need to be. Where we need to go, ultimately into his eternal presence. The question is, are you willing to trust him as the way, the truth, and the life? Are you willing to let go and be embraced by his eternal presence? Are you willing to let go of that need for clarity and simply trust in who he is? My hope and prayer is that every single one of us, we leave here today filled with freedom and peace and life, to know that we are in his hands, and his hands are good hands. May you trust him this morning. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for who you are and how you work and move and how you're in our lives right now. You are present in this place. And you long more than anything else to be in relationship with us. And so may we recognize that this morning. May we recognize that you have called us to be with you, you're calling us right now. That there are some things for some of us this morning that when it comes to the future, we are freaking out. We just need a little bit of direction, a little bit of clarity. Just tell me this thing so that I can do it and not be with you. And yet, your response is no. I want you to trust me. God, may we trust you as our leader. May we trust you as our guide. May we trust you as the one who will never leave us, but who's always with us. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you. In your name, we all said, amen.